Hey, what's up? This is Matt Leslie, writer of Summer of 84 and the new film Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and you're listening to the Don't Go Out There podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. Me, Brian, and Dustin, we had the great privilege to see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 in theaters, and we decided to do a quick instant reaction. We also had the director, writer, and producer on. Check out that interview. That was awesome. We had a blast with those guys. I got to say, just starting off, quick thoughts. I was pretty surprised by how good it was. I had a good time with it. It was fun. I text a group chat within like the first, 5 minutes saying, holy shit, the opening is intense. I got a few qualms. Obviously, it's not perfect. Like Dustin mentioned, his little TikTok video that he posted, you know, quick summary. We'll get into that as well. But I'm really impressed with what they did with just a little bit higher of a budget. So shout out to those guys. Dustin, what'd you think?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I said it on the TikTok that I posted from the Don't Go Out There account. I cannot wait to see what these guys do with an actual budget, because this movie is markedly improved. And we're not alone in saying that. So just so you know, IMDb has this movie at a 6.2. The original, the first, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 1, is at a 2.9. The original on Metascore, the score is 16. This one's not great, but it's a 36. So like, we're not alone in saying that it was better, much better. And I love the introduction of the new characters that we got, the two new characters that we got, because I did feel like they were missing from the first. I thought Scott Chambers, friend of the show, we interviewed him. He told us, I don't remember if he said it on the interview or if he said it before we hit record, but I think he said it on the interview. Like
he said it on the interview.
Yeah. He wasn't comfortable acting. Like he's like, oh God, you want me to do it? All this. And he knocked it out of the fucking park, dude. Bro. He was incredible. He was better than some of the actors that we've seen in multiple films on this show.
Oh, absolutely.
By a lot. And also I'd like to say, Tallulah Evans is a looker. shout out to her and her genetics. But no, I thought the story was much more complex, which is so much better. Like, it's easy to do just the standard slasher route where you have a bad guy, they kill, that's it. And that's what we get in like a franchise like Terrifier. It's just a psychotic clown that kills. This movie, they added an extra layer. These are not Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Like, there's more to it. And so it was very, very refreshing. This story, I commended them when we did the interview on the original take, and I'm going to do it again here, having seen the movie. I'm disappointed that it only got a 3-day run in the theater. So I went Tuesday after I saw a double feature Monday, and then I watched this Tuesday. So I was tired. I was tired of sitting in those theater seats, but this movie was really good. This movie was better than a lot of movies that we've reviewed on the show that had actual budgets and, you know, well-established actors and writers and directors. This movie, I don't feel guilty in saying that this is a guilty pleasure. Like, this is just a pleasure. This is a good movie.
Before you go, Brian, Dustin, you go to Regal. They don't have the lean back seats or the reclining seats.
Not the one
the one in Tallahassee doesn't. Tallahassee doesn't either. That's why I don't like them.
Oh, okay. You're a bougie movie goer. So there is a Regal theater here in Knoxville, Cinnabar at Westtown Mall, that they've got the nice leather reclining seats and all that. And, you know, the waiters that walk around, take your order if you want anything. But the other two theaters that I frequent, they're more old school. They just got the classic. Now, one of them does have it. So, you know, side tangent here. One of the theaters was actually my first job, the Regal Pinnacle Stadium 18 in Turkey Creek in Knoxville. That one is like some of the seats in there. They've got the RDX I think is what it's called, yeah. RPX or something. So some of those have leather seats, but a handful, most of the theaters in there are just your old school standard scratchy material standard theater seats. And that's where I sit.
That's brutal. All right. Sorry, man. Go ahead.
I always make sure when I'm selecting my ticket on the app, I always make sure there's no one sitting in front of me so I can, you know, kick my foot through the armrest and lay back a little.
Hey, like you said, I got soft hands, brother, when it comes to the movie theater. go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the first time we've ever actually shouted out genetics on the show. So I love that. I love that. We are shouting out actual genetics now. I loved it.
You're welcome. Shout out to Gattaca.
I love this movie, man. I said in our group chat, like, this movie had no business being this good. And I cannot remember the last time I went to see a movie and was that blown away with it, how good it was. This one especially, and I mean, and I gave the first one, I picked the first one for your
Feel My Pain.
If I had to see it, you had to see it. Feel My Pain Month. Without having seen it, and then I watched it and went, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I still gave it the lowest rating of everybody with a 4.5, but it's just I didn't like it. It was just a fun little B movie. Okay. This was fucking fantastic. Like, I'm in the 8 or 9 range with this thing right now. Like, that's how much I loved this movie. And I thought I thought you brought Scott Chambers up. Like, and I wasn't on that interview. I wrote the question, and I wish I could have been there, but had some family obligations. But I loved that interview. It was fantastic. It got me pumped up for it, too. Scott Chambers, this movie does not work without him. It does not work without Christopher Robin's performance in this movie. Scott Chambers killed it. I mean, yeah, Tallulah Evans was great, but Scott Chambers killed it. And I want to shout out Lewis Sander, too, as Tigger. But I don't know. We'll get into them, I guess. I hope we get into them. I don't have really a script for this. But I love – he was my favorite character. He was Freddy to a fucking T, Freddy Krueger, and I loved it. I loved every second of it.
So piggybacking off of that, I know we're going to get into it, but I want to go ahead and say this because CTE brain, I'll forget. The first time we hear Tigger was my favorite Tigger moment because we didn't see him.
That's my line.
Yeah, when the cops were like, all right, let's bounce. And he goes, that's my line. I was like, oh, shit, that's Tigger. Ah, fuck it. And when we interviewed the three guys, when they told us, I don't know how you felt, Nico, but when he said that Tigger was very Freddy Krueger-like, I was thinking, like, how are they going to do that? Like, Tigger's only going to exist in dreams? But that's not what they meant. It was, you nailed it. It was Freddy to a T. It was fucking awesome.
Calling them bitches and like scratching his claws on the pipes and shit. It was actually more Freddy than Freddy was in a lot of his movies.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Excuse me, but let's jump into our positives of the movie. Right off rip, the gore and the violence, man, it was really good. It was ramped up. There were some extremely, extremely good kills. I mean, if we had to pick the least favorite, I mean, I could pick some just because. I'll get into that in the cons. I'll get into that later. Let's just talk about the positives now. The kills were really good. I did think it was kind of tropey that the black girl, I don't want to, I'm going to just ruin it. The black girl got Kara. Killed first. She got killed first in the RV or the trailer or whatever. Yeah. I was like,
oh no,
come on guys. Y'all killed the black girl first, but she got it pretty easy. compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Them other girls. Good night. And I
didn't even notice that.
Shout out to Pooh, man. I think the chain with the bear trap, as his weapon is freaking awesome. Like, you know, we've talked in the past, you know, how pitchforks and bow and arrows need to be used more. That's a cool weapon. I really like that a lot. Obviously they got a bigger budget and the guys touched on it in the interview. They put the creatures look better. Like, you know, it's obviously makeup. It's not just a mask they put on the creatures, the monsters, whatever. They look a lot better. The acting, I thought from pretty much everyone was pretty good. I didn't think it was like, Children of the Corn 4 or whatever, you know what I'm saying? No offense to you, Dustin, you know, or, you know, any other crappy movie we've done or watched or, you know, Thanksgiving. Be for real. The acting's not the problem.
Just kidding.
Cloverfield was fantastic. I don't want to hear that slander. We're not getting
I just heard crappy movie and I got triggered. Sorry, go ahead.
Relax.
But I don't know how you guys feel, but I thought the acting from pretty much everyone was pretty decent. Like, it was more than serviceable. Like, I thought it was like Winnie the Pooh, the first one, the acting was pretty bad, honestly. But this one was good. I enjoyed the acting. Some creepy shots. Like you mentioned, Tigger was awesome. I love the shots of him dragging his claws along the rail. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the owl was at first because I walked in a couple minutes late. I walked in like right as they started in the trailer. I missed the claymation stuff or the animation stuff. So I really didn't know who Owl was. I was like, Dustin, what was that that feathery thing? I was like, oh, that's the owl. But, man, I just had a good time with it. Scott was great. Shout out Matt and Leslie, too. Wrote a good script. I thought it was really cool, you know, kind of going the Scream route, you know, with the movie in a movie. Yeah. And there was a lot of horror nods throughout. You know, you got some Jason shout out, Freddy shout outs.
Yeah.
I got to thank all those red balloons or some Pennywise shout outs. That's just my opinion. So, yeah, I don't really have a lot of negatives. I think the whole movie was a positive, really. Dustin, what are some of your positives?
So, yeah, the acting was phenomenal. I loved having the kid. His name was Freddy, right?
Yeah.
His name was Freddy. Was. He was wearing a Freddy sweater. He had the Jason mask on. I love the nods there. I love the introduction of the new characters, like I said, Owl and Tigger. Now, Owl's design, I don't know about you guys. Nico, I'm not sure if you're going to know what I'm going to say, but Brian, I know you do. Owl reminded me of the Tinga Warriors from the Power Rangers movie. Now, you know those big-ass birds? God, you're...
So, you remember the old
purple
Walt Disney?
Was that the movie with Ivan Ooze in the movie?
Oh, dude, yeah, I watched that a bunch when I was growing up.
Okay, so you remember when they go to the island when they get their other powers, those big ass birds?
I thought that looked familiar. Yeah,
that's immediately what I thought of. So the story being so much more complex is a positive to me that negates one of my negatives. So one of my negatives from the first is that, yeah, we get it. It's probably not in the budget to make Pooh look like a bear. You can clearly tell that's a man wearing a mask. But this one, it makes sense that it would be, you know, look like a man wearing a mask, given the story developments with his brother Billy and all that. Fantastic. That's a great way to explain it and not have to justify Tigger looking like a man in a costume. Like, love it. It's a science experiment gone wrong. I think that the gore was fantastic. So I saw this movie Tuesday. You guys saw it Wednesday. And remember, I texted you guys. What was my exact words? I said something like the gore, the opening scene, holy shit, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Nico, I think you were like, is that good or bad? I was like, no, it's incredible. The gore, the kills are just incredible. And I love that they set the tone in that opening scene, in that opening with those opening kills. Because the kills get more and more brutal as we go. Well, I don't know if they get more and more, but they're equally as brutal. They're, you know, it's cranked up to 10 throughout the movie. And I like the added layer of nobody believes Chris. So he's been ostracized. Nobody wants him around. He loses his job. His friends don't want him to come to parties because they think he's a killer. And then turns out he was right. I say, oh, God, it was, just everything about this movie. Matt Leslie wrote an incredible movie, and Scott Chambers and Reese Frank Waterfield, they came up with an incredible story, and they executed it, honestly, as good as they could have given the budget. As the fact they did this on an estimated $1 million, like, that's insane. That's crazy. Incredible. So my positives are basically the whole movie. Loved it. I really loved the animation because, like I think it was Scott said on the interview, it's a good callback, but it's also a way to do a lot of stuff without spending a lot of money. You can draw all day and it doesn't cost anything. And so they can show these scenes and tell this story without actually have to enact it. But it fits so perfectly with the Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh story.
Exactly.
And it's such a good welcome callback that, I liked it a lot. The whole damn thing. I really love also. So in the, you know, we lose Piglet early in this movie, gets his head blown clean off. And then at the end, though, when Owl's got his hand in the honey, which I was worried that we weren't going to actually have any honey because that was the only time the honey was in the entire movie, was at the very end there. But he dips his little feathered fingers into the honey, and he's like, friendship is what keeps us together or something. And you see Piglet's head kind of start to regenerate. You see Pooh in the background, like he's starting to come back alive. So that's fantastic. Yeah, spoiler, by the way, this is spoiler filled. But because when you know that we're getting the Pooniverse, when Pooh gets his wig split, it's like, well, how the fuck? Like, how are we going to get a Pooniverse if there's no Pooh? But it was, and also, I'll shut up so you can go, Brian. Pooh's delivery of "Oh bother."
Great. Yeah.
So that's another welcomed addition. Is in the first one, you know, they didn't talk. The only line that any of the Pooh or Piglet speak is when Pooh says "you left" or "because you left" or whatever. But he kind of grunts it. He doesn't even say it clearly. They fucking talk in this movie. Love that too. Love it. And so his delivery though, "Oh bother," right before the axe hits his head, perfect. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Before you go, bro, I gotta say first off, how you have a Pooniverse with no poo? That was a good bar. I like that one. But no, when you were talking about the budget of $1 million, it made me laugh when Scott was like, "We had $20,000. Fuck all."
Yeah, he's like, we had 20,000 pounds, which isn't fuck all. Shout out to the British, dude, man. They got away with words,
dude. That made me laugh so hard. Go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. And it's funny you mentioned that you loved Pooh in this so much, and you love Jason, and so it was really cool to see how they had basically they made Pooh more Jason Voorhees like in this movie, you know, than they gave Tigger Freddy Krueger. I loved that. I loved it, and it was just fantastic. The gore, you guys mentioned it, so I've got a weird relationship with gore, because some gore I'm like, fucking gross, like this is disgusting, like Terrifier. No offense, Nico, but Terrifier is just gore for the sake of gore, in my opinion. And you know, even to an extent, you know, the Hostel doesn't really bother me that much, but it's some of the stuff you're just like, God, that's fucking gross. This was as gross as you could probably be, and I was just like loving it. It was like that. It was the old school slasher gore, where it's like it's the old Friday the 13th gore, where you're like, fucking yeah, man, that's great. It wasn't like that's fucking disgusting gore. It was, and that speaks so much to me with the story, like you guys mentioned. I think having the movie within the movie, kind of the stab scream thing, was brilliant. Like I am so blown away, like how good of an idea that was. $1 million, man. This movie. We are talking about, and I don't know when you're going to listen to this or whatever, but me and Dustin did the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire reaction, and I gave Ghostbusters my favorite franchise of all time. You know, that movie's around an 8, 8.5, something like that to me out of a 10. This movie's the same. Like, I loved this movie just as much as something like a Ghostbusters. And damn, I am still blown away at how much I really liked it. Now, the prosthetics stood out to me. Yeah. What the animals had with Pooh and actually you talk about, I keep wanting to call her Vulture. What's it?
Owl.
That reminded me of the old Disney, Robin Hood cartoon that, movie, the old Robin, it was the vultures in that movie, like the way that they looked and carried themselves to me, that's what that reminded me of. But anyway, it was the prosthetics for them were great, but like the victims, the after shots of the victims, and especially old dude that was in the hospital, and you know, he unwrapped his head and just how it was just swole. That looked amazing.
Those effects were incredible.
To hear that there was only $1 million budget. And I think they must have said that off air, because I don't remember hearing that.
No, I saw it on IMDb. They didn't say it.
Oh, well, okay.
It's estimated $1 million on IMDb, so who knows?
God damn. Like, give these people Friday the 13th. Give these people a franchise now. They've got their own. They're not going and fucking, you know, doing around, which speaks to what you were talking about, it being original. Like, it's not an original property, but it's an original take on a property that's so welcomed, like, in this era of, and that's why I wrote that question for you to ask them, because that was like a Dustin question too. So I'm glad you asked them. Like that was, it was, you know, I wanted to hear their take on film nowadays and it not being original, but this is such a good fun idea. And the fact that this was so good has me so pumped for the, they're not just churning these out like they did Pooh One, like where it's B movie, blah. Like they have real stories, real reasons for doing stuff. They took themselves seriously. I loved it.
So before the movie, I'm not sure. Nico, I know you were a little bit late getting in. Brian, were you there for the stuff like the, yeah. So but you the saw the sneak peek of Pinocchio. So that's yes. another thing I'll just mention briefly. They gave a little sneak peek of Pinocchio and, or no, it was Bambi. They gave a sneak peek of Bambi and, yeah.
Which is basically Cujo, like a key, yeah. Cujo type on it. Right?
Yeah. And so I love that these guys are genuine fans of the genre too. They're not in this just to make a quick buck. They're doing it for the love of the game and because they want to make a name for themselves in this genre. And I think they're doing that. Like I'm pumped for the rest of it. I'm so excited and so encouraged by seeing this movie that after I left the theater on Tuesday, I went to Walmart and bought the Steelbook Blu-ray of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 1. Like, I'm all in on these guys. Maybe. Another thing that I loved is, you know, in the closing credits, after we see the honey on the feathers, which, by the way, I almost missed because as soon as the first credit rolled, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of being in theater for 8 hours in 2 days. But I stood up and I took a step back and then I heard the music stop and I turned to look at the screen. So we got that scene, but then we get some animation for those last credits and we got to see like they gave us a little storybook look at Pinocchio and Bambi and stuff. So they're sprinkling feathers. It was awesome. They're setting us up to be, you know, the Avengers of the horror world and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's something we've always wanted with like the, well, at least they tried to do with Freddy and Jason, and they could never get all these properties together that you've wanted to see all this forever. I'm most excited about seeing Peter Pan. Like, that sounds...
Yeah.
And if it's as good... it has obviously a chance of not being, but after seeing this and seeing... Like, it's got a chance to be a very emotional movie, at least for me, because it's going to, you know, go with they're stealing the kids. It's going to have, you know, instead of pixie dust, the heroin addiction for Tinkerbell. I'm very excited about that movie.
Well, the premise of Peter Pan, when you take a step back and don't think about it with nostalgia and the stories you've heard, that is terrifying. Like a man that comes into kids' windows and promises to take them to Neverland and then abducts them. Like, that's a terrifying premise. And so I think they're going to knock it out of the park. I really hope nothing but the best for these guys, Reese and Scott and Matt. This movie was great.
Dustin was ready to get out of the theater because of them seats. Shout out to Regal.
That's not true. The seats are fine. I am disappointed. I will say this. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
All right. Speaking of Regal, it's nothing to do with Regal. I'm disappointed in Knoxville, Tennessee that, you know, this got one showing per day for 3 days and I was the only ticket sold for mine. Come on, do better. Support these little guys, man. You don't have to go see every fucking Fast and Furious movie. Go see the movies that look a little weird. Sometimes they turn out to be great.
You got to spread the good word, brother. There was people in my theater last night.
Mine too. I mean, not a lot, but it was, you know, about 10.
The bad thing for them, though, is like that movie came out with like Late Night with the Devil. Dune 2 is still out. Ghostbusters just came out. I mean, there's a lot of big stuff out right now.
Yeah, and so, then I mean, this weekend, Kong and Godzilla. Or Godzilla and Kong.
It comes out like, Friday. And yeah, they had Ex Machina in IMAX last night as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of competition too, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been sick. I went and saw Winnie the Pooh Tuesday and Ex Machina Wednesday, but you know, life is kicking my ass right now. But anywho, I was going to piggyback on something you said, Brian. You said give these guys Jason. I would like to see them do a Jason movie. I still want Vincent DeSantis to do a Jason movie, give both of them a pilot, you know, let them have a crack at it. But man, with what they do with Tigger Man, give them a Freddy movie. I'm here for it. They could do something good with them. I think they'd pick a good actor too. Or heck, let the same guy who played Tigger do it. He's got no pressure.
Sounded like it. He sounded like it.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's a nobody. He's not like a bigger name like a Jackie Earl Haley who's going to have pressure. Like he's just going into the role. And I think he was good as Tigger. So give him a shot. Why not?
Yeah, this was his first movie on according to
IMDb. He was funny too. Calling people bitches, then like stabbing that girl in the foot, then like holding her by the necklace and just stabbing her through the grates over and over. Man, it was awesome. I had a good time
with the shots of him underneath the grate there and the blood trickling down on him. That was great. Oh, I remember what I was going to say a minute ago. So obviously there's nods to these other franchises with, you know, Pooh being very Jason-like and the Freddy Krueger Tigger and then the kid wearing both. But Pooh with the chainsaw, very Leatherface-ish. And the shot of him with the flaming chainsaw, that was fucking incredible. I loved it.
Yeah.
But let's be real.
It made no damn sense, but it was cool.
No, it doesn't have to. Loved it. So I'll ask y'all a question and we can move on very quickly from it. When Tigger gets to the rave and all these people are running around, did we really expect that one girl to get away? Go ahead. Respectfully. I mean,
another horror night I saw though was the car with the GoPro on it. Very Purge-esque from the first one.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I also got a good chuckle out of that dude jumping into the boiler and then Pooh just turns it on and cooks his ass.
Yes.
Like, buddy, that backfired real quick.
Speaking of boiler,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of boiler, back to the opening scene, the effects on the girl that was set on fire when she crawled out of the water there, her skin.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, how did they spend all $1 million on effects for this movie? Because they looked incredible.
And if not, this dude needs to be hired for every movie. If he can make these kind of effects for low
the blood
budget.
Looked great.
Holy shit. Everything looked great.
We've seen blood in movies with, you know, 100 times bigger budget, blood that just looks like, oh, come on, blood doesn't, that's not the right color. Look what they did.
There was 3D. Only two nitpicks that I can think of this entire movie. And one was when you were talking about with the chainsaw, there were two really close-up shots where it looked like the chain wasn't moving. And which is
definitely
fine.
Was not moving.
Which was fine if it wasn't supposed to be, but then don't have the close-up shots. That was a nitpick. The other one is that a lot of the movie, and this I saw this in a theater, I saw it, you know, at high def or whatever, there were a lot of scenes that felt really dark, and I was like, what's going on? Maybe some of that rave, some of the rave scenes. Like at the very beginning, it took me a little bit to kind of find, like when she came out of the water and she was burned up. I was like, I couldn't really tell, like, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't tell how her face was. I think my son, even because my son went with me, he loved the movie too, but he was like, what is that? Like, he couldn't really tell what the fuck was coming out of the water. It took me a minute. And so there were some shots that were a little dark, in my opinion.
I think that was intentional for two reasons. I think number one, budgetary. Like, it looked probably better because we couldn't really see it, so we could tear it apart if we got a better look at it. But also, I think it was tonally chosen that way, you know, to make the movie darker and just literally feel darker. And so I think that had a lot to do with it too. But yeah, so nitpick, you mentioned the chainsaw chain not moving. My biggest nitpick with the whole damn movie is I ain't never in my life seen a chainsaw that you could just crank up with one pull of the string. I mean, what the fuck? What brand is that? I need one. My steel chainsaw, I fucking get a full workout when I'm trying to crank it. I got that farm ball, son. It's a good chainsaw, but damn.
I got a couple of nitpicks as well. Same ones as you guys about the chainsaw. And it's staying, like, on fire. And it's raining. Like, let's be for real here. I mean, and that's just a nitpick, but a couple other nitpicks I had. Some of the kills I felt like really kind of were unnecessary. Just the scenes in general, like when those, like, I guess they're cops or whatever, went into the tree. They got all killed off screen, like, basically.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Like, that felt really kind of pointless. Like, you've been killing people on screen the whole movie. I mean, and I'm not going to say the movie drug or anything, but it was like an hour and, 40 minutes, hour 35, something like that. Like, if you're going to have that scene, show the kills, because that's what the movie's really been good for. Like, show those kills. Let's see, a couple other nitpicks. I know some of the prosthetics, like the ones that were like floating down the river or whatever, they look, you know, pretty cheap and cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right.
That's me being really nitpicky with their budget. But I am going to point it out. You know, if I'm going to praise them for being good with it, I'm going to praise them for being bad with it, because you could have just not shown that. And then the bird watching, like, that was a cool scene. But then you just show the grandpa get took away or whatever he was, and the kid didn't even see it. Like, why'd the kid get to live, excuse me? Like, hell, snatch that kid up too. But you know, that's just me being a little extra. My point is, if you're going to show the scene, like, show the kills too. Like, why'd you not show those? It just felt kind of pointless.
I can get behind that. I'll mention, though, when you talked about the prosthetics in the water, there's one that one of the limbs, I think it was the leg, when it was floating down the water, the skin on top of it looked like it was flapping. And that was the worst part of the look at. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but go back and watch it next time you see it. The skin that's like on top of the bone floating on top of the water is like flapping in the wind. It's like, eh. Yeah, I know. I once I saw it, I couldn't look away. But you know,
yeah, I'm definitely ready to do an in depth review of this already. But there's a couple.
Some would
things
say it's overdue.
Me.
Yeah. There were a couple of things that I was like, I maybe need another watch to understand. Like Lexi's dad, who was the cop, they like went in the tree and. I don't remember if it was like, wasn't there two groups of cops that went into the tree? The first group of cops like encountered Tigger and then they were killed off screen like you were talking about. But didn't another group of cops go back in there too or whatever that included him? And then somehow they were just bam in the, they found bodies or whatever, but then they were just like bam in the car. Like, and he was calling to make sure that, you know, that his grandkid was okay or whatever. But like, I felt like I needed something like, how did you get from one point to the other? Like what happened? It almost like it left me there or something.
No, I'm right there with you. I need another rewatch as well. Cause I thought that the guy who was the cop you're talking about with the glasses and I thought he fell down like getting pursued by one of them, but that might've been somebody different. A lot was happening all at once. So
yeah.
I might've missed it. So we definitely need, you know, another rewatch at home where you can pause it, rewind it, and all that good stuff. But no, I'm right there with you. I got kind of, I was like, how did he survive when everyone else died? But
right.
And also speaking of that scene at the house, I'll forgive it. But how did they get out from underneath their sheet tent there without Pooh seeing them? Like, how did they get behind them? Like, because the whole time Pooh's walking up the stairs, I was like, that's a terrible place to hide. That's obviously the first place you'd look if you're an intruder and you see a tent. You're going to look under there first, so they're caught. But then they came out from behind them. I'm like, well, how the fuck? Okay, never, whatever. It is what it is.
With that bright-ass iPad blaring.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, turn the brightness down. Come on, man. At least be sneaky about it. Nah, but yeah. You know, listeners, if you're listening to this right now, you're obviously hearing that like we're really reaching for nitpicks and things we have issues with. And obviously when we do a full in-depth review of it, we'll have more train of thought, more to pick apart. Cause I mean, if you only watch it one time at the theater and you only get one crack at it to watch it, you're going to miss some things or you're not gonna be able to, I won't say you miss everything. You just won't be able to absorb everything. If that makes any sense, but y'all guys got any more final thoughts? I mean, I'll just end with, I thought it was good, man. Those guys did a great job with their follow-up. They obviously, I was impressed just listening to them. I believed the movie would be good just by hearing them talk. You could tell that they were passionate filmmakers. You could tell they were passionate about the genre as a whole, like slashers, all of it. You know, they love the genre. They wanted to do this justice. They want to do themselves justice. And honestly, I looked at Matt Leslie's Instagram and he was talking about, you know, joining Reese and Scott. And he was straight up. He was like, even they'll admit the first movie wasn't that good. But, you know, when you just talk to them, I can obviously tell there's a talent there. They just didn't have the money to make something better. They made chicken salad out of chicken shit with the first one, basically, as the old saying goes. So, I mean, I trust those guys with anything you give them at this point. Dustin, what's your final thoughts?
Yeah, so when we did the first movie, I gave it a 5, and I was pretty critical of it, but I said that I enjoyed it. And my biggest gripe on that one was, you know, the look of Pooh. Like, he's a bear. He should have fur. So, Brian, I meant to say this earlier when you mentioned how they kind of stabbed this movie, like, you know, Scream stabbed. They showed the first movie in this one. It's a perfect way to explain it. It's a movie based on the events. And so I gave that movie a 5 off of one watch on this one. I'm at like a 7, 7.5. I mean, it's a genuinely good movie. And so I wish nothing but the best for these guys. I've said that countless times and I'll continue to say it until they put out something that I absolutely hate. They haven't done that so far. They're 2 for 2 with me because a 5 out of 10, but I enjoyed it, is better than a 7 out of 10 that I don't care to ever watch again. My hope is that Matt stays with these two, with Scott and Reese, and he writes the rest of the movies. I know he's not writing like the either Bambi or Pinocchio. Like, he's not writing at least one of those, probably not either of them, but I hope he comes back for the Pooh movies at least, because he wrote a great movie. This, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie yet, again, we say shame on you, but maybe take this as a glowing endorsement to go out of your way to watch it. It's a good movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
The thing I'm scared of. I'm sorry, Brian. One last thought. The thing I'm scared of is, like, eventually the novelty will wear off. So I hope, even if their movies are good, like, people are just like, I'm not going to keep supporting that. I'm going to keep supporting just because I believe in those guys. So I hope that the horror community continues to support these guys in the Pooniverse, as they call it.
Well, I mean, you talk about that. You've got 10 Saw movies, and every time that it's almost like every movie they're struggling to find a new spin on it. These are not new spins. Like, they have a plan, and I'm excited about every single one of these. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, I was the lowest for Pooh, Blood and Honey 1, and it was my pick, and I was a 4.5, and I liked it, but I had the same, you know, issues you guys did. This, to me, I think I'm the highest. I'll say 8, 8.5 for this. Like, I was so genuinely impressed with what they gave me and what we got. And everything was so, you don't have to have seen the first one. You don't want to go watch the first one. Don't go watch it. Just watch this one. It's perfectly fine. And then go back and watch it if you want to, because you're basically watching Scream and then turning around and watching Stab. So, you know, go do that if you want to. But I am so excited, more than excited than I've been in a long time, for something new, original, as a new franchise. Because, I mean, Mike and Nico, you guys have the Terrifier series that you're, it's new, and you guys are excited about the future of, and I haven't had that in a long time. And Conjuring was new for me, but it wasn't for you guys. And this is something that I'm genuinely excited about the future of.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. So I mentioned the IMDb score. I'll go ahead and throw the Rotten Tomato out there as well. So you can tell we're not being biased. This one opened at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's down now. Some of the hater critics have got involved. It's down to a 50%. 50% still better than a lot of movies get on Rotten Tomatoes. But the audience score is what I wanted to point out. The audience score on Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 is 82%. So it's not just us. It's not just us. These guys clearly have found something that worked.
Well, the last time I checked, just for Ghostbusters had a 36% review, like, on for the reviewers, and an 88% on the fan side of it. So fuck what the review people say. Like,
you talking about Frozen Empire?
Go watch it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Frozen Empire is at a 44% critic review, but the audience score is 84%.
Yeah. See, and it's, come on. Go watch it.
We love both those movies.
Yeah. And I saw several Facebook posts today about this movie, and a lot of people saying they hated it, but they hadn't even seen it.
So it's
like, what are you even commenting for? You know, it's me and Dustin were talking to those guys, and at the end of the interview, it's like, if you don't like it, just don't watch it. Like, don't comment on it. Like, what are you hating for? Yeah. But, you know, people just like to be miserable. But I was going to say something, but I forgot it. So shout out to losing what you were going to say. Final thoughts, guys? I had a good time watching it. Like Dustin mentioned earlier, only getting 3 days and one viewing per day was kind of rough, though. I wish they would have had at least like a couple of viewings during the day. That would have been pretty nice.
Or at least make that 3 day. At least make that 3 day run a weekend 3 day run.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Weekend
in the middle, of the week, it's tough for people to make it to the theater sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I would like to see that. Hopefully this one does well enough to where next time it does get at least a weekend. So,
I mean, maybe go on a Halloween release, you know, maybe they can release it October. Maybe they'll have the money to do that. I don't really know how that side of the business works at all, but maybe they can re-release it. Was the first one, did it come out on Max? Like, where did we watch that?
Peacock.
Okay. So is this going to come out the same? Same way, I wonder.
I hope so, because I think that would be great for them. Put it on a streaming service, even if it's not Peacock, put it on something. That way people that already subscribe to it can watch it for free, because the more eyeballs that get on this movie is only going to do better for the rest of the franchise. because this one will win people over. I'm confident.
Shudder needs to jump all over this. I mean, no offense to those good people at Shudder, but they don't have the best selection, in my opinion. It's more like indie, old stuff. Man, grab these guys up and stream them. Like, make a deal with them. Like, partner with them. Like, get the exclusive streaming rights for the first couple months. Like, I feel like they'd make some money off of that.
Absolutely.
So, Shudder, we know y'all. We ain't got nothing but love for y'all, so give them guys some love. Appreciate y'all listening to our thoughts on Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Go check it out when it hits streaming. Highly recommend it, and I'm looking forward to reviewing it.
Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.